Oh, my goodness. Colossians chapter 2. Go ahead and find a Bible and start turning there. If you've brought your Bible, open it up to Colossians chapter 2. If you did not bring your Bible, there's one in the pew in front of you. Feel free to use that. If you don't have a Bible and you want one, I'd love to put one in your hands. You can see me right after church, and I've got some that for just such an occasion, I'd love to stick one in your hand. Let's allow you to have your own personal copy of the Word of God to take and use and to read, and because it's through the reading of His Word that we understand more about Him, right? It's kind of a process. We're going to talk about that. Remember I told you this morning, earlier, we're going to talk about the word process, and that's kind of the title of this sermon today. It's a process. It doesn't just happen. This passage, I'm going to read to you in just a moment. It's three verses. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6, 7, and 8. But before we read it, let me tell you that Paul is writing to this group of Christians in Colossae. And the problem is they're being deceived, okay? And he's writing to them to tell them, don't be deceived. He writes from a prison. This is one of Paul's prison letters. He's writing from prison. And actually, he's writing to a group of people that he probably has never even personally met before, okay? And he tells them that they need to change the way they change. As we begin, you know, we're still in January, but this is still the first of the year. And as we begin to look at, you know, things about we want to do this year that may be different from last year or the year before, how do we do that? How do we go about doing that? Paul's telling them, he reminds them, he says, that just as they received Christ and trusted Him initially, they need to continue doing that. Let's read the text. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6, 7, and 8. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. You see, one of the things that they were fighting and struggling with was what we would call Christian syncretism, and that's a big word, and I had to find out what it meant, but I learned it, and here's what it means. It means that when you syncretize something, you know, you gather all these things. So what they might have been doing, they were Christians, and so they would take some Christianity and they'd really put that to good use. And along with that, they would use some of the pagan rituals that were present everywhere around them, and some Roman ideas and some of the new Greek philosophy. They would take a little bit of that and they would put it all together in this melting pot, and they'd stir it up like that and say, here's my faith. And it was just a kind of a hodgepodge mixed of everything around them. And Paul was writing and he said, you know, that's, don't do that. When we think about that syncretism that they were fighting and facing back then, it's not too different really from our world today, right? We have several different things to draw from. We have Christianity, we have science, and we have philosophy. We have all this stuff, the same kind of things that they had then, and we try to put it all together and make it all work and fit together. Well, what we're going to learn is that God has His way, and we have our way, and sometimes they're not the same. God has a process that sometimes defies human logic and sometimes defies the natural order of things, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Paul urges them to return to what they first received. Warren? Paul is telling them, keep it simple. That's the one message that Warren remembers. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Remember what happened at the very first. When you first received Jesus, remember that. Go back to that and continue to live in Him. That's what Paul is instructing these Christians at Colossae. We need to remember that what we need to remember is that when we come to Christ and trust in Him for our salvation, it's not a done deal. It's not the closing ceremony, you might say. It's not the end of it saying, okay, now I've trusted in Christ. My struggle is over, and we're going to walk perfectly. We're going to talk, look, love, act, and think like Jesus now. Has anybody ever had that thought? Well, when I become a Christian, that's what I'm supposed to be. And I have an issue because it's not happening. And here's the problem. It's not a project. It's a process. A project has, okay, here's where we are. We'll start it, boom, 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 and then here's the completed project. That's the goal. Boom. And while that part of God's process for us does have goals, we're not a project. We are a process. Paul says to continue to live in Him. God is a God of process. Everybody say, it's a process. It's a process. We are a process. Having and raising kids is a process, is it not? When does it end? That's right. So it's not a project, right? Because a project has an end date, right? Raising kids is a process. Begins with the conception. Then there's the pregnancy. Then there's usually contractions, right? Boy, do I remember those. And then there's the, I was there. Then there's the birth, right? That usually happens when a baby's born is the birth, yes, okay. Then you take them home and job done, complete, right? That's it. Yeah, right. Now the work really begins. When Zachary was born, my 17, almost 18-year-old, I would say boy, but he's turned into a young man now. But I remember when he was born. It was a cold and icy night. Morning. We went to the, let me tell you the quick story. We had to go to the doctor for an appointment, and the day of the appointment came, and it was an ice storm, and we were living in a little town outside of Brownwood called Goldthwaite, about 30 or 40 miles outside of Brownwood, where we had to go to the doctor. And I remember we're out there, and on that ice, Rebecca had slipped on that day, and she had fallen on the porch, the back porch. She was not covered. She stepped outside. She was all dressed up. I was out feeding the cows, and she was going to go feed the chickens, and she had on her like ski bibs and her big winter coat. And of course, she was very pregnant, and so all that kind of was very snug, and she kind of the Michelin man. You've ever seen him on the TV? Okay, it's kind of what she looked like. But she was a pretty one, let me tell you. Oh, and I didn't see all of this. I wish I had seen it. But she stepped out on the back porch, and before she knew it, her feet were up higher than her head. She went like this and fell and hit on the porch. But it gets better. So she was laying there, and she describes it. She says she felt like a cockroach because she was just laying there kicking her hands. And she couldn't roll over. She couldn't move. So she just kind of had to scoot to the edge and kind of fall halfway off. And anyway, this ice storm, that was free. That was, it's actually not free because I'm going to pay for it a little bit later on. But we made it. We went to the doctor. Somebody told her, said, well, you know what? You better pack a bag. She said, why? It's just a doctor's appointment. They said, you better pack a bag. So she said, okay. So she took her bag. We went, drove her slow to the hospital. The doctor looked at her, checked her out, all that, said, you know what? We're going to have to take this baby in the morning. Be here at some wee hours, and we're like 4 or 5 o'clock. We had to be there. And so we decided, well, we're not going to go all the way back home. We're going to stay at my sister's house in Brownwood. So we went over there, slept on the floor. You know, I mean, I'm sitting here 9 months pregnant, and I have to sleep on the floor. But anyway, we did it. She was also 9 months pregnant, but we slept on the floor, went up the next day anyway, and scheduled, it was a scheduled deal. Went in, doctors did what they do, you know, I mean, it's a good thing. Zachary was born, couple days later, we're driving home. The ice has cleared. No more ice on the roads. We load up in the car. I'm a brand new dad. She's a brand new mom. And we have this brand new baby. And we're excited. We go out to the car. And I'm like holding this thing with guarding it with all of my life. You know, I'm like making sure nobody's smoking a cigarette around it. And to make sure there's no bugs flying in the air. Of course, it's February, March, you know, early March. And not that many bugs. But I was real careful with everything I did. We got in the car. 40 miles home. And I drove how fast? Slow, she said, about 45 miles an hour, like this. All the way home. I was extra special, very, very careful. Got home. Whew, I made it. I did it. Success. And that was the last day I was ever concerned about his health and safety and welfare. And no more frustrations. And yeah, right. I hear you laughing. Aaron was born. It was a completely different story. I knew better than to think that the job was complete just because we got home safe. Raising kids is a process, is it not? Listen to this statement. Getting them into the Father's house and learning their name is just a step in the process. When I wrote that, I thought, wow. Getting them in to the Father's home, my home. It was just a step in the process. Learning their name, learning their characteristics was a step in the process. The same is true of us, y'all. Getting into the Father's house is just a step in the process. Learning His name, Him learning about us. Of course, He already knows about us. He knows a number of hairs on your head. And for some of us, it's not that big a number, but still, it's something. But as we learn about Him, it's a process. It's a process. Everybody say it's a process. The problem is that we're project-oriented people. I remember when I gave my life to Christ, I read where Jesus said, "It is finished." And then Paul said that I am a new creation. Those give the indication that something is completed and done, right? Why is it that I still had the same desires, that I still had the same habits and urges as before? Only now it's worse because I know it's wrong. Why is it? If it's supposed to be done, why do I not feel like it's done? The answer is because it's a process. When I perform a wedding, afterwards the bride, who's been stressed out over all the everything, the flowers, the candles, the bridesmaids' dresses, her dress, his dress, because at that point she's maybe thinking he's in a dress, I don't know, but the hors d'oeuvres, the placemats, the music, all that stuff. And afterwards she looks so relieved, and I think to myself, all that stuff won't matter, because at the end of the day, she's going home with him. She thinks something is done, it's over. And it's like the old Carpenter song. It's only just begun. Right? Anybody else know that song? It's a process. Right? We're project-oriented. How many of you have ever been to the dentist? Yeah. We go to the dentist. It's a process. We go to the dentist, and the hygienist, she tells us, or he tells us, you know, after they clean our teeth and whatnot, they say, okay, now you have to floss your teeth 8 times a day and brush your teeth 4 times a day and rinse with this special rinse and do all this, and they're scraping and all that. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, all right. I'm not doing all of that stuff. You go ahead. Here's my mouth. Do what you can for me right now. I'll be back in 6 months or a year, whatever maybe your insurance allows or whatever your schedule allows, but I'll come back. And I'll let you do it all again, but don't expect me to do anything in the meantime, right? This is confession time. Anybody? Okay. One honest person out there, Mark. Thank you. As I was thinking about this, it dawned on me. That's just how some church people are, right? Preacher, you got 25 minutes. If you go over that, I might stay up to 35 minutes, but I'm not staying any longer. You might see me heading out the door. Don't think anything of it. But you go ahead and do what you can right now. I'll come back, but don't expect me to do anything in the meantime. See, we want to be a project. We want to say, okay, here's where we are. God's going to do some stuff. Boom, pow. Here I am. I'm finished. Woo! Completed. On to something else. We want to be like that. We say things like, I got saved. But then we think to ourselves, if I got saved, why am I still struggling? Why do I still fight this stuff? Why do I still feel like this? Why do I still want these things? It's because it's a process. A few weeks ago, I preached a sermon, the first sermon of the year, on past, present, and future. Kind of gave a look at where we had been, where we are now, and where we're going. And kind of to further that, we can see that this church is a process, right? I got three other verses. I want to show you something real quick. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Now look, I want you to see something here. Past, present, and future. "For it is by grace that you have been saved." What tense does that indicate? Past. We have been saved. Boom. Done. Complete. Right? Past. We have been saved. And that's great, because that's what we want. But then we see the next verse, and it says, go to the next verse. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." What kind of tense is that? So we were saved, but now we are being saved. That's past and present. It's a process, right? Where does the process go? The next verse in 1 Peter 1:5 says, "Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." Until the coming of the salvation in the last time. When is that? I've been saved. I am being saved, and I will be saved. It's a process. It's a process. We think that just because it's a new year that we're going to make a change. And for some, we make what's called New Year's resolutions, right? And for some, we've made a resolution this year. This year, I'm going to do something or not do something. And for some, it's the same one we made last year that we didn't follow through on, or the year before that, right? Or maybe for several years running. This is the year when I'm serious. I'm really going to do it. I'm really going to change, right? This year I'm really going to quit doing, or I'm going to lose such and such. I'm going to begin such and such. I'm really going to do it this time. I have failed in the past, but this year I'm really, really going to do it. The problem is that we have these issues. And we circle around these issues. These issues are all kinds of issues, and we just like are seeing this issue in front of us. And we circle it. We circle it at a distance, and we kind of walk around it. We tiptoe around the issues. We don't approach it too much. We don't get too far away from it. We just have these issues, and we say, you know, maybe it's these issues are, maybe they're, it's a habit we have. Maybe it's an addiction. And we say, this time I'm really going to do it, but we keep circling around it. And we wonder, this issue is there. And I've prayed about it. I've given it to God. Why is it still there, this issue? Does anybody ever feel like that? Why is it still there? Here's an example. I forgave that person. I forgave that person, right? I won't turn my back on them too long, right? I forgave that person, and then something happens. And without even realizing, we're mad all over again, right? And we wanted to forgive. We really tried to. We prayed about it, and it's just, why can't I get rid of the issue? We forget that we're not God's project. We are a process. You see, the issue may always be there. Guess what we have to do? We have to learn to deal with it. The issues will always be there. We just have to learn to deal with them. The good news is we don't always have to deal with them in the same manner. Okay? That's where the good part comes in. It's a process. Maybe your issue is anger. Maybe you're angry all the time, or just maybe you're angry some of the times, but at times when you shouldn't be. Maybe you're selfish. Maybe you have an addiction. Maybe you're struggling with pornography. Maybe there's drugs or alcohol, or there's a negative attitude. Maybe there's depression. Maybe there's resentment, unforgiveness, or countless other big real-life issues. You may wish that God would just take all that away. Well, guess what? He can. And guess what? Sometimes He does, but not all the time. Most of the time, it's a process, and we just need to learn to deal with it. There's a story I read about this week. There's In Vietnam, there was a prisoner of war. He was an admiral. He was the highest-ranking prisoner of war in the conflict of Vietnam. He was a POW for 8 years. He went through at least 20 different torture sessions. He's back, and they was doing an interview with him. Well, he had a limp that he incurred during that time. I mean, he really, seriously went through some torture in those 8 years of being a POW. And the interviewer asked him, said, "How did you make it through?" He said he never lost faith. He never lost hope. And when he was asked about those who did not make it out, he said it was typically the optimists that died in prison. The interviewer said, "What do you mean? You would think it would be the pessimist. How can the optimist were the ones that gave up and didn't make it?" He said, "They would say, 'We're going to be out by Christmas. We're going to make it out by Christmas. Y'all, just hang on. Christmas is coming. We're going to make it out.' And then Christmas would come and Christmas would go. And they would say, 'Okay, Easter, we're going to make it out by Easter. Easter would come and go. Summer, okay, summertime, we're going to make it out. I'm optimistic, we're going to make it out. Summer would come and go. Then they're back to Christmas again.'" And he said, "You know what? Most of them end up dying of a broken heart because they just were let down over and over and over again." And the interviewer asked this admiral, he said, "Well, you didn't do that? How could you not have hope?" He said, "Oh, I had hope." He said, "But I told my guys, we may never get out of this thing. You just have to learn to deal with it. You have to learn to deal with it." The issue was still there, right? He just learned to circle it at a different level. That's what we have to learn. This week I spent yesterday at the Apple store. My iPhone was having issues. I have an iPhone. We have several iPhones in our house. We have iPods, have an iPad. Those mean that I have an issue called I'm broke. All these little gadgets that hook up to the computer. Is anybody familiar with that? You hook it up? Okay. And it goes through a thing called sync. You have to sync your iPod with your computer, right? Sync. When I connect my iPhone or my iPod or the iPad to the computer, something pops up in the top of the iTunes bar up there. You know what it says? It says, do not disconnect. Sync in process. It's being synchronized. It's downloading. There's some downloading stuff going on, and it tells me, do not disconnect, because I'm downloading some stuff that you need. Don't disconnect. It's a process. Everybody say, it's a process. It's a process. You're going to learn that word. You're going to go home today and say, what's for lunch, honey? She's going to say, it's a process. It means don't disconnect. Don't interrupt the process. Stay plugged in. Don't disconnect. That's a word of encouragement to you today. Wherever you are in the process, don't unplug. Stay connected, because God is downloading some information to you. He's upgrading your software. He's downloading something that's going to help you down the road. And you may not know what that is right now, but if you'll stay plugged in, if you'll stay connected, you're going to get it. You're going to benefit from being involved in the process. If you disconnect, guess what happens to the process? You have to start all back over again. Guess what? I've got too much invested in my process to start over. We need to recognize that it's a process. Our world tells us that we need to finish what we start. You ever heard that? Better finish what you started. Because we're project-oriented. If we start something, there has to be a finish to it. You cannot apply that idea to God's process. You know why? Because you didn't start it. You didn't start it. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God started the process. You didn't start it, but you can't finish it. God started the process, and he has already finished it. He says, finish. The world says, finish what you started. God says, continue what I finished. And we go back to our first verse. We read, it says, Paul says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Just as God has completed, now the process really begins. But it's not to achieve, it's not to accomplish. The goal is to be involved in the process. God has won the goal. He's won the goal. The story, the end of the story has already been written. We just have to go through the story. It's a process. He finished it on the cross. Just as you received Jesus Christ, continue to live in him. Now, if you're here today and you have not asked Jesus to save you from your sin, if you've not come to him and say, Lord, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I know that I have done at least one thing in my life that displeases you. And I recognize that your word tells me that if I've ever done that, and the Bible says that we all have, that if I've ever failed you, if I've ever done anything wrong, the punishment for that is death, eternal death. That means eternal separation from you. In modern language, that just means go to hell. I understand that that's the penalty for that. I don't want that. I accept the gift that you've given, the work that you completed on the cross when you said it is finished. You completed that work. I accept that. I receive that. I allow you to be my Savior and Lord. I accept your forgiveness in my life. If you've never done that, there's freedom. And it's available to you today here in this place. All you have to do is receive it and begin the process that has already been started and continue in the work that God has already finished. It doesn't make sense to us, does it? Because we have to really struggle to wrap our minds around it, because we see start, we have progress, and then we finish. God says, look, I've finished it. Now start the process. Doesn't make sense to us. But God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We cannot understand him. Who has fathomed the mind of God? Who has understood? Who has seen the depths of his knowledge? If you read back in the book of Job, you'll see that God asked Job kind of some of the same questions. Where were you when I did all this? Where were you when I did that? You don't get it. You don't understand, Job. And he tells us, you don't get it. You don't understand. But there's a process started. I'm downloading information. Your job is to stay plugged in. Your job is to stay receiving. Keep receiving the downloads. Keep receiving the information so that you can apply that at some later date in the process. But guess what? If you haven't even begun the process, you need to. You need to begin the process. The invitation is there. Are you weary and troubled, the song says? Are you weary and troubled? Are you saying, I just don't understand because I've been trying to change over and over and over again? Why can't I change? And maybe you're frustrated. You're thinking, We need to understand that we are a process. We are in process. But we don't have to handle the situation the same. We can circle it at higher levels and learn to deal with those same issues that are going to be there today, tomorrow, and in the future. We can just learn to deal with them in better ways. That's the process. I'm not sure where you are today in your process. Sometimes I'm not sure where I am in my process. I just know that I want to stay plugged in. I want to keep receiving the download, because I know that there's going to come a point in time when it's going to really make a difference. My eyes are going to go, oh, now I get at least that part of it. And it gives us hope, and we're excited about the next part that we haven't understood yet. But if we stay plugged in, we'll receive that and see that at some point also. Wherever you are in the process, stay plugged in. Stay involved. If you haven't begun the process, don't leave until you've begun that today. Today's a great day to start. We're still in January. This is a great month to start things. The battle's already been won. It's already been finished. We just have to go through the process. As Mark comes, we're going to sing just a couple verses of this hymn as an invitation. I'll be in the front. If you want to come and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior today, that's a great day. If you want to come and speak with me about any other issues and have prayer, I'd love to pray with you. The prayer benches are always open. This is your time. This is your invitation. This is your chance to respond to what God is calling you to do. As we stand and sing.